Welcome, everybody. Everyone on the live stream, in the overflow, hi. Thank you. And to you here in the room, welcome. Great to have you here. A special shout out to Faye Hawkins, who normally comments on the live stream this morning on Facebook. Good to see you, Faye, or you know what I mean. Now, early warning, today's message has actually been rewritten several times, and the message doesn't end up where it was originally planned to. So you might either take that as God having his way or me overthinking it, but either way, we should pray first. Heavenly Father, thank you that we can gather and meet together as your people here this morning. It is a privilege to meet and sing and pray and to open your word to hear from you this morning. We pray for those who can't, be it health or work or persecution, for whatever reason that people can't gather. We pray that you'll just bless them this morning. May we hear your word and accept any challenge that you give us this morning. Father, that your people hear your words this morning and that my words would not get in the way of what you were trying to say. Holy Spirit, guide us to the cross this morning. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. So, over the last couple of weeks, given that we all want to be more like Jesus, right? Yes. Smile and nod, smile and wave. Our message series has been about practicing the practices of Jesus. To be more like him, maybe we should consider doing what Jesus did. So, everything Jesus did was for the glory of God. So, over the last couple of months, actually, we've looked at worship as a whole of life thing. Everything we do is worship to God. Or perhaps not God, perhaps something else. Be that money, job, family, other things. Not necessarily bad things, but God's to be our priority in every minute of every day. Then we talked about how prayer, that is two-way conversation, communication between us and God, our Heavenly Father, who loves us and wants to be in relationship with us and for us to know him. That's the environment in which our whole lives should be immersed. That led us through to the practice of Bible reading, which is the primary way in which God speaks to us or reveals himself to us. Today, we're sort of continuing that series by asking how to read the Bible. Now, this up here is one of my preferred ways to read the Bible. Somewhere quiet, a nice view, maybe some water. That's God's general revelation to us. Plus coffee equals happy sigh. The next slide Kimberly's going to put up would be perfect, if not a very unproductive way. Bible plus coffee plus family plus beach and holidays and bacon and eggs and more coffee. Probably too busy brain. But more often than not, it ends up the next one. Now, for full transparency, that's a staged photo. Can anyone tell me why? There you go. That's the correct answer. It's actually the kitchen table. Which now Deborah's going, look at the mess. There's probably not any. I think I cut it out mostly. So see how much trouble I get in later? But yes, the coffee cup's full, so it was staged. So, nobody's really interested in how I read the Bible. Today we're here to talk about how Jesus interacted with the Bible. So, how did Jesus read the Bible? Because who else better to model our lives on than him? Remembering, though, that the Bible is a collection of 66 separate but intimately connected writings, narratives, history, poetry and letters, written over about 1,500 years by more than 35 authors. Only about 3/4 of this was actually written before Jesus. Okay, so there are too many times in the Gospels where Jesus quotes or references the Bible. In his case, the Old Testament, for me to get through all of them today. So I'm going to look at the first 4 times that Jesus speaks, so the red letters in my NIV Bible, and how that reflects his understanding of Scripture and what we can learn from him in that. So I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. The first recorded words of Jesus in the New Testament are Luke 2:41-52. Now, to summarize that, it's when he was 12, his parents went home, accidentally left him in Jerusalem for 3 days, where he sat and discussed the scriptures with the experts in the temple, who were amazed by how well he understood the scripture. Now, if you were 12 and left in a city all alone, would you go to church? I probably wouldn't have when I was 12. But just a side note to all parents, especially mums here this morning, Mary and Joseph lost the Son of God for 3 days, and he turned out just fine. So don't be too hard on yourself. The second time that Jesus spoke in Scripture is Matthew 3, 13 to 17. This is Jesus talking with John the Baptist just before John baptized him, discussing the Scriptures and what was required of Jesus to do to actually completely fulfill the Scriptures. The third recorded words of Jesus are Luke 4, 1 to 13. That's Jesus quoting Scripture to refute Satan and his misquoted scripture during the temptation in the wilderness. And the fourth, further on in Luke 4, is where Jesus reads the Isaiah scroll at the gathering at the synagogue in Nazareth. So, four times Jesus spoke. There's a couple of things to learn there. The first is Jesus knew his scripture. For him, it was only the Old Testament because he was experiencing and writing the New Testament at the time, or those around him would later. The second thing, Jesus knew his scriptures. He could quote, deeply comprehend, and clearly communicate God's word because he knew it so well. The third thing we can see is Jesus knew his scriptures. He used it to both build and defend his true identity as the Son of God. And the fourth thing, guess what it is? Jesus knew his scriptures. He used it both to build and defend. Oh, no, wrong line. But he went to the temple. He went to the synagogue anyway to read it together with other people. And we should do the same. We should know our Bible deeply. We should use it consistently to reinforce our true identity. And we should read it together with others. That's a good and true message. But it actually doesn't answer the question that I was supposed to answer. How should we read the Bible? To do that, and since I've still got 20 minutes, I'm actually going to use the scripture that Jesus had and knew well to make a start to answer the question. So, what's the first record in the Bible of the Bible being read? Can anyone tell me? Anyone willing to have a guess? The first record in the Bible of the Bible being read. Exodus 17. Good guess. Now, again, to summarize, that's Moses, Egypt, plagues, Red Sea, on the way to Mount Sinai. The Israelites are attacked by the Amalekites and have to form an impromptu defense line. Moses goes up a hill to pray for victory. When he raises his hands in prayer, Israel's winning. As he gets tired and his arms get heavy, and when he drops his arms, Israel starts to lose the battle. So he gets two guys to hold up his arms, and he prays and they win. Once the battle is over, in Exodus 17:14, God says to Moses, "Write this on a scroll as something to be remembered." This is the first mention of the writing of the Bible in the Bible. To me, it's really interesting because it has nothing to do with commands or laws. It's a story. Remember this story. The purpose of writing isn't just for archival purposes. It's to actively remember the event. What was the event? God rescued his people out of slavery. They're vulnerable. They were almost destroyed, but God intervened to rescue his people. The first purpose of the Bible is so that God's people would remember how God had acted to save them and to bring them to himself. Now the second, anybody willing, before Kimberly changes the slide, to try to guess the second thing, the second time the Bible references the Bible?
Exodus 18.
18, you think? What's the story?
No idea.
You have no idea. Okay, so it was a guess. Right. At least he's honest. Anyone else willing to have a guess? That's correct. It didn't go up there yet? Or somebody... It is actually Exodus 24. It's at the end of the... on Mount Sinai, Moses comes down and the Ten Commandments and the other things are spoken about following that. Moses says to write it down. Now, this is writing down of what is the covenant relationship terms, the Ten Commandments and following on. Then the first time those words are read aloud over God's people, it's a covenant ceremony, like a wedding ceremony. Moses read the book of the covenant to all the people gathered, and then they respond with, "I do. Everything the Lord has said, we are going to do." Sounds like a wedding ceremony. So the second purpose of the Bible, from the second mentioning of the writing of the Bible in the Bible, is so that God's people would know what is required of them after God had already rescued them out of slavery. Now, there's a couple of important things here to highlight on the way past. Squirrel. God gave the commandments to who? To Moses and to the God's people. He gave them to the people, God's people, his chosen people. God shows how he wants the people to live after rescuing them from slavery, not before. And God made the covenant relationship agreement with the people he had already chosen and rescued. And they couldn't have done anything to earn God's favor before that, except possibly the act of obedience to follow. Now, back on topic, I think. There are many other times in the Bible when the Bible actually talks about itself. There's a story in Jeremiah 36 where Jeremiah is not able to go to the temple and he writes down what God told him and his servant Barak takes it to the temple to read it. But there's one other time I want to mention, which is the last time chronologically where the Old Testament talks about the public reading of Scripture. And that is in, anybody game to have a crack? Nehemiah 8. Yes, you're all right. After the exile in Babylon, the people came back. Life is hard in Jerusalem. They are rebuilding Jerusalem, though. The walls, the temple, the culture, and more. So they make this little wooden podium. The priests are all there, the Levites, Ezra and Nehemiah, and they gather all the people together, the children, the men and women, everybody's there. Nehemiah 8, verse 8 says, "They read from the book of the law, making it clear and giving the meaning so that the people understood what was being read." This is the first example of Israel, after coming out of exile, getting together to read the scriptures. But they're doing more than just reading, if you read up there a bit further. What are they doing? There's also interpretation and exposition of the text. They're giving the sense of it so it could be understood more easily. This is perhaps the origins of preaching the sermon. But the two reasons for reading Scripture are here again: to remember what God has done in rescuing them, but and also so they would know the terms of the covenant relationship. So they knew what it meant to be in relationship with God. So they knew how to live. Now that's old covenant, but there's a lot to learn from that. And for the purposes today, the main thing to pick up is that all three times I've mentioned, God's people gathered together, all of them, to hear God's word read aloud. The Bible says that we should gather together to read the Bible. I love gathering on my own. Just me and God, my Bible and my cup of coffee. The Bible says we should gather to read it. The guys from the Bible Project said this: "The origins of the Bible are completely wrapped up in the origins of God forming a people. And the two exist very closely connected. The purpose of the Bible is to be read aloud to God's assembled people to both tell the story that reminds them who they are and also to invite those assembled people into this covenant relationship with God. Not just so they could know God, but so they could be transformed by this relationship and then become God's representatives to the nations. Sociologists have language for this. It's called identity formation. The purpose of the Bible is to be read aloud as God's gathered people to help them form a unique identity as a minority group among the nations who live by a different story. Now, back to Jesus. Throughout his ministry, Jesus gathered people together to read and later write the Bible. The Sermon on the Mount, the feeding of the 5,000, the Last Supper. He gathered people in the temple, in the synagogue, as well as on the side of a hill and on the beach and in houses around meals. He gathered in big groups and small groups. Jesus knew the scriptures deeply and he used it constantly to reinforce his identity and those around him. And he read it together with others to teach and build their identity. Why? He knew that God's people needed to be reminded of what God had done for them and the terms of the covenant relationship and their true identity. The true identity of God's people is the church. It's what we call the church. It's a poor translation of the Greek word ecclesia. Jesus said in Matthew 16, 18, I will build my church. The Greek says my ecclesia. The word ecclesia, in simple terms, rather than all of that, simply means the assembly of the called out ones. We are the ecclesia, called out by God to assemble together to pray, worship, and read the Bible together. But why does it matter? Jesus gathered the people together to teach. As the writer of Hebrews said in Hebrews 10, 25, it was very clear and said, don't give up meeting together and encourage each other and spur each other along. Even in this COVID-19 world, live stream is great. It's a great tool, but it is no substitute for gathering together and fellowshipping together as God's people. Now, I'm literally preaching to the converted here in the room and praying specifically for those who cannot meet together with others because of health or other reasons. We pray for you guys that you're able to connect somewhere with someone because you cannot be the church alone. It doesn't have to be this big group, but we're going to talk more about that in the next couple of weeks in different contexts that we can meet. But we cannot really know Jesus and be saved without reading and knowing his word, the Bible. And you can't be strong and mature Christians, strong in your faith and your identity, if you don't keep reading the Bible. And we can't work together as God, Jesus' hands and feet to build the kingdom of God if we don't come together. Darren uses language for this of the locker room. We have to get together to understand what we don't see, to be reminded of the plays, the purpose, to encourage and be encouraged by our teammates and to be rejuvenated by his word and then to go and live it. Now, we all want to be more like Jesus. We said that at the start. We all really want to be more like the early church as well. Acts 2:42 says they devoted themselves, this is the early church, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, that is what we see in the Bible, and to fellowship and the breaking of bread into prayer. Everyone was filled in awe at the many signs and wonders performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to each other who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes. They ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's what this should look like. This is what they did. And we should do something similar. Now, we don't live in first century Jerusalem, but how does that work here? What we do know, it can't be done without reading the Bible, and it can't be done without gathering with other Christians. Now, you might say, I've been hurt or frustrated by other Christians or the church. If you haven't, you will. I'm sorry. In fact, I'm genuinely sorry if Christians have hurt you. That's not how this is supposed to be. But relationships are hard, and we're all on a journey together. All on a journey towards Jesus, but none of us are there yet. But that's no excuse for hurting people. Satan, though, is trying to damage people, to break down relationships, to tear the church apart. But our battle is not against each other. It's against him. And we remember, we know that Jesus is greater than all of our struggles and hurt. The church is supposed to be the earthly reflection of God's love. It's supposed to be the beacon of love and hope and truth for all. But too often it fails and becomes a place more distracted by ego or gossip or self-fulfillment or indifference, instead of focusing on and prioritizing the good news of Jesus that we find when we read the Bible. Or maybe you think the modern church is nothing like what Jesus intended. And you might be right. But we're trying. And we're all in this together, I hope. Just know that if you don't gather with other believers, it is impossible to be the New Testament church on your own. Over 2/3 of Jesus' commandments to the church cannot be done alone. Love one another. Billy Graham wrote, "Going to church will not make you a Christian, but refusing to fellowship with believers will not make you one either." Oh, and if you do happen to find the perfect church, don't join it. You might ruin it. So, back to the start. How should we read the Bible? Gathered together with other believers. Why should we read the Bible? To remember that what God has done to save us from our sin, to learn how to live and be in relationship with him who saved us and with each other. We read the Bible to know who God is and to know our true identity in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you for leaving this as the tool. Father, I know it's not how I'd have done it, but Father, we know together that together we're better because of you. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit that is with us and fills us and empowers us to be the church, whether we're here together or scattered. But Father, I want to pray especially this morning for anyone who has been hurt by the church or other Christians. Father, help us to forgive. Help us to love each other better. Help us to remember and focus and prioritize what you have done for us, for what Jesus has done on the cross. Father, draw us to the cross. Holy Spirit, remind us of the cross. Help us to remember what you have done and who you are and what that makes us, who that makes us. Father, transform us. Grow us to be more like you. Draw us to you. And Father, as we go from gathered to scattered this week, I pray that you will continue to work in us. Help us to continue to read the Bible when we are not together. But Father, help us to seek out opportunities to be gathered. Father, in the big group, in small groups, Father, maybe it fits only with their family if that's all we're able to do. Father, I pray that you will challenge us to seek you first, to seek your word to us in the Bible. Father, to help us read about you so that we can know and be your church. Father, we want to thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.